This morning in the sermon, I am providing you with a piece of paper, a handout, and you've got pencils, and if you like that sort of thing, you're welcome to use it. You're welcome to write down all sorts of crazy things, and there's a couple of places where you can write some answers and circle words, or you can just chill, but it's there if you want. But I want to start with three questions for you. Why is it impossible to keep kids' fingers off windows? Why do babies play with food? And why do museums have do not touch signs? I think the answer to all these questions is the same thing. Do you know what it is? Well, I think it is because touch is essential to human beings. It's who we are. I think touch is the most vital thing for life. I think that touch is the first sense that we experience. I could be wrong on that one. So what's the largest organ of the human body? It's your skin. Do you know how many square meters it takes up? 2 square meters. How much does it weigh? About 3.5 kilos on your average adult of skin. That's more than your brain and your liver put together, actually. We need to touch. The most basic sense we have, the bigger than all the other senses, is touch. So much of our brain, more of our brain is devoted to touch than almost anything, by the way. Touch is just the most vital thing for human life, right? One study showed that when patients in medical units were touched by healthcare staff, the oxygen levels in their blood went up. Another study showed that when a nurse held a patient's hand, there were improvements in their blood pressure and their heart rate and their breathing. Why is that? Because we are beings of touch. That is what we are. One of the members of Emmanuel Church community is Daryl Fleiss-Fresher. I love Daryl dearly. I couldn't get a good photo of him. This is the one I've got. Sorry, Gwen. And what I love about Daryl is, well, there's so much I do. It's his integrity, his care. He's just an amazing man. When I see him, he grabs my hand and he squeezes it. He's a farmer, so he's got a farmer's grip. And he hasn't lost that, and he does not let go. He just holds and holds and holds, and I love it. Daryl can communicate verbally a little bit, but, you know, he says more with his hand, with one touch, and he gives so much to everyone who loves him. And one of the ways he does that is with touch. So, I want to start by reminding you how basic touch is to your life. Human beings, it's just the essence of who we are. We need to be touched and we need to touch. But there are problems with this topic. I think touch is and should be a touchy topic. You notice how we use sayings like get a grip or that's touchy. We use so many symbols and metaphors around touch. And when I say touch should be a touchy topic, I mean it should be a sensitive and careful topic. Why should touch be such a touchy topic for human beings? Because we are absolutely fantastic at taking good things and stuffing them up. For instance, we can take a beautiful Holden car and smash it. We are so good as human beings at taking wonderful, good gifts, beautiful things. This is actually, by the way, if you're interested in deep theology, St. Augustine defines evil not as a thing of its own, but as the twisting of the good. He says, God didn't actually make evil. Evil is the twisting of the good God made. I like that. But this is what human beings do. We take one of the best things that we ever received and we just make it bad. And so I want to talk with you very briefly about the worst form of touch. Funnily enough, the worst form of touch involves the best form of touch. The most creative, beautiful, life-giving form of touch. How is it that God made us? We're physical beings and we create life by touching. We have this most creative force that God gave us and we use it to hurt. And I don't think that we can ever talk about touch without being careful anymore, ever since Adam and Eve. I think that's just how it is. Now, those of you who know me really well, you will know that I'm uncertain about touch sometimes. I am a bit iffy about people who just want to throw their arms around me and I don't know who they are. If that's you, you got total respect from me. And sometimes I'm really unsure, and people who work with me think I'm funny because I do some of the briefings around our place, and I'll tell you, I'm just not sure about this. And I think that there's a degree of health in that. I think we should all actually be very touchy about touch at times, don't you think? Because it is the most powerful, one of the most powerful things we have, and it is so easily abused. I'm not a terrible victim of sexual abuse, but I have received abusive touch, and it's left me scarred and uncertain. And if that's you, that's okay. You should not be pushed ever into touch that you don't want. Even if it's just the smallest thing, like shaking hands, if you don't feel safe, you don't have to do it. And I'm saying this to those of you who are really touchy, and by the way, I'm pretty touchy now. Those of you who know me, I hug and show lots of affection. But if someone doesn't feel safe with touch, they're not safe with touch. It doesn't matter what you tell them. It doesn't matter what you say to them. If they don't feel safe with it, they're not safe. So please never shame someone else or guilt someone else or expect someone else into touching when they don't want to touch. Because this area, it's churches have been beautiful, kind, caring communities full of lovely, naive people. Is that fair to say? And we've been used and abused in our country, and there have been wolves in sheep's clothing. And I used to run a seminar on protective behaviours with the Townsville Domestic Violence Resource Service. Say that one quickly. And the DVRS. And we used to ask people, have you experienced physical or sexual abuse at some points in this? And about 50% of all the attenders, parents, childcare workers, teachers, 50% of them said, yep, that's me. So, this is a touchy topic. We should be wise about this topic. We should not make this into a simplistic thing. It's not. That's just life. I am going to do the bad touch, good touch briefing really quick. But if you want to know more about this, the Lutheran Church of Australia published this really great brochure. It's actually really good. It's a bit confronting, but it's really good. It's in our foyer, and it's called A Safe Place. And I really appreciate it. So I'm not going to talk about this. Just have a look at what's on the screen or on your handout about good touch and bad touch. Can you see the difference? Now, if you've been hurt and if you're sensitive about touch, I respect that. And you can and should expect others to respect that too. And I just want to say, you don't have to push yourself. You don't have to push yourself beyond your limits in this area. It's okay to be you. And perhaps even some of the things that you're suffering, perhaps even you can find a way to see good come out of them and good creative things, even through what you where you're at. So that's the touch talk. Now today, I don't want to talk about good touch and bad touch. I'm actually not going to deal with that touch, but I just really want us to be aware of that because we're going to go some interesting places towards the end of this sermon. We're in the book of Mark. We've been following it through for a while, and I call this particular passage two entwined touchy tales. Say that really fast. Go on. Yeah, you love it, don't you? Two entwined touchy tales. In this, we have two stories in one, and one sits in the middle of the other. So there's something going on in these stories that is just so amazing. But perhaps modern people don't see it quite as much because we're not quite as touchy about things. So let's just go through these stories, and you can write on your thing, on your handout. See if we can match things up. The first story starts in Mark 5, verse 21, with a sick girl. Yeah, and her dad is begging Jesus. It actually uses a word that indicates he's just asking over and over and over. He's asking and asking. And this sick girl, she's unclean. Why is she unclean? Well, because she's sick, but also the passage says that she's nearing death, and that means that no one's allowed to touch her. And how old is she? You know this? She's 12 years old, okay? And this is the most beautiful thing. She's a daughter. Ever had a sick child, parents? How badly does that hurt? So she's the daughter of someone, and that someone just happens to be a pastor, so I relate to this story or that. I haven't really had a sick daughter. And he begs Jesus for something special. He says, come and lay hands on her. This is interesting language. This reminds me of Mark chapter 10, where people brought little children to Jesus that he might touch them. Perhaps when they brought children to Jesus, they were asking for healing. So this is the story, but in the middle of this story, there's an interruption. What happens? They're going to this girl's house, and another story happens in the middle before the story continues. But we'll finish this story first, because it's very interesting. That interruption means that they're running late, and the girl is now dead. And so Jesus says to that man, don't fear. This is the passage for the day. I think you should memorize this one because this one's an easy one. Don't fear. What? Just have faith. Some translations say just believe. Well, it's the exact same word in the ancient language. It's the word faith. Just have faith. Say that out loud with me. Don't fear. Just have faith. Beautiful. And then at the end of the story, Jesus does lay hands on this girl. It says he placed his hands upon her and she is healed. Now, let's get to the other story. Remember, it's two stories? In the middle of this story, we had this interruption. So I can't really map this up properly because it kind of happens in brackets in the middle. But in the middle, they're on the way to get to the sick girl and there's a sick woman. And we discover that she's unclean. Why is she unclean? Blood. In that culture, you couldn't touch anyone who was bleeding. And how long has she been bleeding for? 12 years. And what does Jesus call her when he meets her? He actually gives her a name. He calls her daughter. What a beautiful thing to say. What a lovely, affectionate way of talking to someone that everybody else avoided. And this daughter of the Most High God, wow, she's a daughter of God. She has been saying to herself, if only, what? If only I touch, if only I touch the hem of his robe. Well, what does Jesus, what happens? Well, there's all sorts of going on there, but there's a touch. And it says when she touches, she trembled with fear. Notice the exact same words get repeated in each story. Strange stuff going on here. And then Jesus turns to her when he finds out who it was, and he says, what? Do you know? You can guess. Faith, oh, you've got it on the screen already. Thanks, Stefan. Faith saved you. I'll hurry up now. And there's touch. She touches him, and my chalk is dead, and she is healed. Right. Now, I don't know. I read this story, and I saw all the similarities, and there's more. But I read this story, and I'm like, did Mark deliberately write it that way? To make you go, whoa. Is Mark trying to draw a pattern or a picture? What's going on in this story? There's something just so bizarre. Well, I thought about that, and I think it's just how it happened. I think it was just one of those happenings, and perhaps God and Jesus kind of colluded a bit, worked together to teach us something through what was going on. But the interesting thing about this story is the touch. Let's start at the start. There's a bloke, he says what? Count the number of circles I make now. Don't count this circle in the middle, okay? It's greeny red. How many circles will I make? Bloke says, come lay hands. And at the end of the story, Jesus lays hands. The woman says, if only I touch. And she touches. And Jesus says, who touched me? And the disciples, I forgot one. There's this little word, it says the crowd is pressing in, crowding in on him. And the word there can mean bumping into or colliding. So they're colliding with Jesus. This is a spiritual Hadron Collider. They're colliding with Jesus. Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And then the disciples say, "What do you mean, who touched you? Can't you see everyone colliding with you?" And then we finish with the healing. How many touches? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Is that right? So that's what I counted. There's 8 forms of touch in this story. Now, you probably don't get too worked up about it, but this story was written in a culture vastly different to ours. In our culture, we're getting more touchy about touch in some ways and less in others, I think. It's just a strange mix, isn't it? But in that culture, touch was just a sacred thing that you were so very careful with. In that culture, touch was more touchy than you can imagine, and you didn't touch unless you knew the meaning. Everything about touch in that culture was touchy. And so when the people would have read this story or heard this story, they would have gone, "Oh, colliding, oh, touch, touch, touches, unclean, lays hands, touch, touch, touch." They would have gone, "Ooh, this is a radical story. This is a story about many things, including who Jesus is, God. But this is a story about touch, and it's especially a story about touching what? The unclean, the untouchable." And as I thought about this story, I started to realize this is pretty normal for Jesus. So this is where you can circle things on your handout and yell things out with me. Yell out the underlined word. It should be easy. Those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. People brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. She wiped Jesus' feet with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. The Pharisee saw this. He said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Jesus touched the man's ear and healed him. Jesus said, "Look at my hands and my feet. It's me. Touch me and see." There's an incredible physicality to the story of Jesus that would have been absolutely in your face for the first readers. And think about this. This is about God, the Holy, pure Spirit, coming down and touching the filth and the brokenness and the sickness and the death and the uncleanness in our world. This is a radical story. And he doesn't touch for his own needs. He doesn't touch abusively or selfishly. He touches how? To heal. I think God came as a human being to touch because love required it. So that's what I think. And then later on, the disciples of Jesus write some letters explaining who he was. And John, who Jesus loved, wrote 3 letters. And when John wrote his letters, he was worried about something that was going around the early church. There was this new strange teaching that was going around. And the new strange teaching was, touch is all bad. The new strange teaching was, spiritual things are untouchable. Spiritual things are good. God is spiritual. So God never touches. God's up there. And everything else that's physical that you can touch, that's bad. That was the wrong teaching that had crept into the early church. It's called Docetism, or maybe for you, Ben, Proto-Gnosticism. There you go. This teaching was going around, and John wants to confront that teaching in his letters. And so what does he write? Ready to yell. "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, who we have seen and heard. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our hands." So John comes to this ancient church that was starting to think, if you follow God, you can never enjoy a glass of wine. You must not get married. You must not wear nice clothes. You must not enjoy anything about the world around you because you must be higher than all that. And John says, rubbish. God came as one of us and we touched him. So John calls these early Christians back to the physical world. And he says, your touch is important because God touched. This was radical stuff. I think it still is. So I've come to this really strange conclusion, which needed the introduction that I gave, and that is that God's grace involves touch. You know what grace is? It is the free, undeserved love of God, won for us on the cross, or proved for us with Jesus. And I've come to the crazy conclusion that God's grace involves touch. One of my favorite spiritual movies is Molokai. I looked around. I don't think it's on Netflix. Maybe you Stan people, or you can find it on maybe Google Play. But it's quite old now, but it's really well made. And it's got someone from The Lord of the Rings, so it has to be good. So Molokai is about a Catholic priest, Father Damien, who goes to live on the island of Molokai. And do you know what this island is? It is a leper colony. It is a place where all the people with leprosy have been put because no one wants to touch them. And Father Damien is warned not to go to that leprosy colony, not to live with those people, because if he does, he'll get leprosy and die. And guess what happens? He gets leprosy. And he stays with those people and he serves those people as one of them until he dies with them. I think I know what that story sounds like. Does it sound like something to you? This is a good story. This is a story about God. Now, I really do think that God's grace is a physical thing that involves actual touch. What do Christians call the most holy, sacred things? We have a theological word for the big things that Jesus started. Sacraments. You know what a sacrament is? That's brilliant. An outward sign of something like inward grace. I can't remember. Yeah, really good. Okay. A sacrament is something that gives God's grace, God's love and forgiveness and presence through touch. Now, we can also make that into an adjective. We can call things sacramental. Yeah? Can you just tell someone, name a sacramental thing? Something that gives God's grace or God's love, but involves touch in some way. Just name something quietly to yourself or tell someone you're with. Just do it right now. That's a tough question, isn't it? All right. You know, some churches actually say that the washing of feet is a sacrament because Jesus started it and involves touch. I think there are lots and lots of things that are sacramental where God actually comes to us physically. Lutheran Christians, we tend to depend on and name the two big ones, which are baptism and Holy Communion. And so I'm actually saying to you, think about this. God's grace involves touch when, I don't know how this works, but we actually teach that in a mysterious way, when we have this, God actually, Jesus is there physically to touch. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? I think God's grace involves touch. So let's finish with some homework. You know, a touch-starved world, which is possibly what parts of our culture are becoming, a touch-starved world is a grace-starved world. Don't you think? In a culture where the elderly long for someone to just shake their hand or place a hand on their shoulder, a touch-starved world is a grace-starved world. And when I see what Father Damien did, I actually see what it is to follow Jesus. And when I see Father Damien going to that island to touch those people, that's what Jesus did. That's what God did. He came and he touched us, knowing that it would kill him, knowing that we would kill him. And he did it anyway because that's how he communicated his love. And so as we are followers of Jesus, as we seek to bring God's grace to the world, it's going to involve touch. Who in your life can you appropriately, only with consent, in a way that is only helpful, at a time that is right, who can you actually physically touch? I think that there is a thing such as grace-filled touch, and I think Holy Communion is one of them. But I think that as we Christians go to the world, We need to take the words of this Bible passage very seriously. What does it say? What does Jesus say in the middle? He says, don't fear, just have faith. Would you say that with me? Don't fear, just have faith. And maybe we can be praying and listening to God's guidance about where we fear touch and where faith is required. I want to strongly encourage you to learn the difference between safe touch and unsafe touch. I want to strongly encourage you to not throw out all the boundaries and be crazy. I want to strongly encourage you to do what Jesus says. He says, be as innocent as doves and as wise as serpents. And that's pretty cool. I want to strongly encourage you to take this area seriously and to advocate for those who are vulnerable. But at the same time, I want to challenge you in this area to take God's grace to the world. And that may and will involve grace-filled touch. So I discussed how I'm going to end this sermon with Pastor Doug today. And Doug gave permission and consent for this. We decided we're going to give you all free hugs today. That's what we're going to do. That's okay, because that's going to be safe touch, which means if you don't want it, you don't get it. It means that we're going to respect your boundaries and you're going to respect our boundaries too. So, you know, it means that it's going to be appropriate touch if you want just a side on. Come on, Doug, let's demonstrate. So first of all, I'm just to be honest, consent. When someone initiates touch, you can be aware of that. You don't have to always go, now, Douglas Fitzpatrick, do you give consent for the following actions, which I will now entail? Right, that's not necessary, but you can catch an eye and you can see. And so Doug suggested to me that some people might want this from a pastor today. Yeah, we're going to give you A-frame hugs. Sorry. Or we might just place a hand on your shoulder. We're going to take your guide, but I read this reading and I went, oh, how can we do anything after this than actually offer grace-filled touch? If you don't want it, don't ask. It's cool. But if today, when you have Holy Communion, you would like, just come over to Pastor Doug or Pastor Matt, and we might grab one of our women prayer people to be with us too, so that you don't have to get a hug from a man. If you would like, we will bless you. We'll actually hug you. We'll actually, as we hug you, tell you that God loves you. It'll be meaningful in that way. Right, that's it. Grace-filled touch. Let's sing. I'll pray. Let's pray.